Hi, I'm Marie.
And I'm Emily.
And we're registered dietitians who love to look at the research when it comes to all things diets and supplements.
With years of working with professional and collegiate athletes, we've seen it all, and we're here to set the record straight.
On this podcast, we break down popular diets and supplements to let you know what's legit
and what's BS.
Welcome back to RDs versus BS podcast. Today is a fun episode. It's kind of a two-parter. It's technically on the Zone diet, which I'll be honest, I had heard of, but didn't really know what it was about, but lots to say. We also have a pseudo guest with us today. So as many of you know, we've shared about the whole process of becoming a dietitian, and a piece of that is doing a year-long internship where you do rotations and all sorts of different areas of dietetics. And I have had my first ever dietetic intern. Her name is Ellen, and she's with us today. Say hi, Ellen.
Hi. Thanks for having me, guys.
Yes, we're so happy to have you. She's going to be doing our BSPS today, which is 75 hard. Before we get into our episode today, if you like our podcast and you've been listening for a while but you don't subscribe, it would be super helpful to the podcast and to us if you would subscribe. Leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcast, or if you listen on Spotify, 5-star rating. Send us those topic suggestions. We love getting them. You can either DM us on Instagram, which is RDs_VS_BS_pod, or our contact page on our website, RDsVersusBS.com. If you're interested in supporting the show, we have our Patreon now, which is somewhat new. So you can learn more about our Patreon and sign up either in the link in our podcast notes, or there's a link in our bio on our Instagram where you can check that out. Okay, I know I have been talking a lot, and I'm going to continue because I have the shit at the grocery store today. It was just cracking me up. It's pretty simple, but it is a trail mix. Island Snacks trail mix. It looks like it's a bunch of dried fruit, nuts, normal things you'd find in a trail mix. But in big, huge letters across the packaging in the front, it says high energy mix. And it caught my eye and it got me thinking, this is genius marketing. There is nothing special about this trail mix. It's the same trail mix that you'll find anywhere, right? It's just dried fruit and peanuts and almonds, the classic stuff. They just call it high energy mix, which actually means high calories. And there's nothing wrong with that. Like, calories are energy, but it's not like they added caffeine to this or they added some secret ingredient that's going to give you more energy than regular trail mix. But it is called high energy mix, which cracks me up.
That is a nice rebrand of this has a lot of calories in it.
Right, exactly. So that's just kind of a fun one I ran across the other day.
It is, because if you were to put on there high calorie mix,
people no would one be like, would buy it. But
because it's the word energy, people are like, ooh, high energy mix. Like,
I know.
Oh God, it's marketing's crazy.
Marketing's crazy.
All right. So today we are talking about the Zone diet, which I think it's really funny, Emily, that you're like, yeah, I didn't know much about this. I didn't know it was a diet. I've seen the Zone bars, and I just thought it was a bar company, but apparently they're tied to this diet, so.
I know your love of all things, like, bars and nutrition products, so yeah. Of course you've heard of Zone bars.
Yeah. So, but yes, this is a diet. It's been around for a long time. It was started by, of course, a doctor, Dr. Barry Sears. So the Zone diet was developed a long time ago, like 30-ish years ago, and the initial point of it was to reduce inflammation. Barry Sears, he's in the field of metabolic engineering, which sounds like something that you would find on a Joe Rogan podcast these days,
yes,
right?
Yes, it's like the fancy science term of biohacking.
Right, right, right. Just looking at, initially what he was looking at was elite athletes and inflammation. And one of the anecdotes that we found that I personally find really, really hilarious is that one of his first studies was that he looked at the Stanford swim team and try and implement some of the practices of what eventually would turn into the zone diet with the Stanford swim team. And there's a mention that in the 1992 Barcelona Olympics that the Stanford swim team members, between all of them, they won 7 gold medals, which, you know, in this marketing would make it seem like he's responsible for the 7 gold medals won by America via his zone diet. But I find that really hilarious because for those that are not swimmers, it's like gymnastics. You don't show up on a college campus as a swimmer, not that great, and then end up at the Olympics. Like, these people were already headed for the Olympics.
That's fair.
Swimming is very much a sport that you become elite at it at a very young age. And you pretty much know around the time you're like 12, 13, 14, with a few exceptions, if you're on the Olympic track or not. So it is funny to me that he sort of sideways tries to take credit for the Olympic achievements of these athletes that he had try out the zone diet. But yeah, so that was the initial idea, like reduce inflammation with your diet, which, you know, we can get behind. There's definitely some things that you can do to help with metabolic waste. That's a lot of what we talk about as sports dietitians, is recovery and getting rid of some of that metabolic waste. But what this morphed into is very, very, very far away from that. So we are going to talk about what the zone diet is today. I love that they're little rebrand of reduce, reuse, recycle. They even have the same little triangle with the arrows. But their motto is how to get in the zone, reduce, resolve, repair to reprogram your health. That is their whole thing. So the idea is basically reduce. So this is where we like definitely get away from sports nutrition and like reducing inflammation, right? Because it's not, oh, reduce inflammation. No, just reduce the number of calories you're taking in. Okay, now we're a weight loss diet, right? Like we've gone away from inflammation. So the reduce is literally short for reduce your calories. Follow the zone diet, reduce your calories, which you definitely will. We'll get to that. With that, I think it's funny. Reduce your calories without hunger or fatigue.
Good luck.
We might have some literature to say otherwise. Resolve. So this is where they then shove a bunch of supplements down your throat. That, of course, they sell. You know, that you're supposed to resolve some of your biochemical issues that you might find in your lab work. Resolve those issues by taking omega-3 fatty acids. And then repair is going to be repair your cell damage by taking our line of polyphenols. From a bird's eye view, that's the plan. Reduce your calories, resolve your metabolic panel, so like your cholesterol and your insulin and your blood sugar, stuff like that. Resolve all of that by taking our specific branded omega-3 fatty acid supplement, and then repair your cell damage, repair your inflammation by taking our line of polyphenol supplements. So that is the zone diet in a nutshell.
Yeah. And yeah, like Maurice said, they of course sell their own omega-3s and polyphenols. And we've talked about both of these things in past episodes and BSPS segments. But yeah, you know, omega-3s, as if you're a listener, as you know, like I'm a fan of omega-3s. Most people don't eat enough of them, so it can be helpful to supplement. But we also always talk about how sketchy supplements can be. And while the zone omegas, they say that they are, we test them for purity and stuff, they aren't third-party certified with a label on their bottle. So if you are going to take omega-3s, don't buy them from Zone. And then also, the polyphenols we've talked about before, this is one where I wish there was more research. Like, there is a little showing that, yeah, they may offer protection against, you know, certain cancers, cardiovascular disease, things like that. But the research isn't quite there that supplementing it makes much of a difference. our best recommendation right now would just be to, if you want more polyphenols in your life, get them from food instead. Because we know that those are, they tend to be very healthy foods. Blueberries, cherries, black currants, olives, dark chocolate, coffee, stuff like that. Yeah, I've not once recommended to a client to take polyphenols as a supplement. It's just not something with a ton of research behind it.
Right. And it's a very obvious money grab for this particular program because we're about to get into the actual diet plan. And it's very high in polyphenol foods. Like, you're supposed to eat freaking what, like 8 servings of vegetables and like 5 servings of fruits a day?
Yeah.
You're getting plenty of polyphenols from your diet if you're right. following this plan. You're probably not getting enough calories or protein or a bunch of other stuff, but you are definitely getting enough polyphenols. So it is kind of like, okay, they want you to buy their packaging, they want you to buy their omega-3s, and they want you to buy their polyphenols, and they don't really want to explain to you where polyphenols come from, because then you're not going to buy it from them.
Right, exactly. Yeah, so, you know, something about the Zone diet that particularly struck me was how much they talk about inflammation is their big thing, but they also keep harping on a healthy metabolism. And their website is just full of things that I have question marks about. Like, what a healthy metabolism really does. Provides physical energy, as opposed to what? I don't know. Physical energy.
Imaginary energy.
Right. And mental focus. And then they go on to say, your metabolism's job is to turn food into energy. Do you get tired shortly after meals or in the afternoon? Do you have brain fog or trouble concentrating? That means something's in the way of that energy creation. I have never heard someone try to make this claim.
And this is no different than, I'm thinking back to the V-Shred episode where they tried to be like, your metabolism's broken.
Yes.
And it's like, nothing's wrong with people's metabolisms. You know, these diets create a problem based off of symptoms that most people are experiencing just from being a human.
Right. And they take it. Oh, go ahead.
I was just saying, and then they were just like, broken metabolism. And it's like, that's not a thing.
Right. And they take it one step further and do another thing that I haven't seen many diet gurus talk too much about, but the Zone diet people claim that having a healthy metabolism can slow the aging process. They say on their website, when a poorly functioning metabolism isn't providing enough energy to your cells, aging speeds up and wellness goes down.
That is so many buzzwords.
Pulled out of nowhere. Yeah.
Wellness goes down. Wellness, I mean, can we just talk down about that phrase?
And how does aging speed? I don't know.
Right. Like,
none of it is tangible, you know?
Yeah. This is all just happening in imagination land. They take it a step further because I think a lot of diet programs do this where they're like, your metabolism's broken, your wellness is going down, your aging speeding up, your, you know, whatever. They throw these words out. They have no tangible things related to them, but it's scary enough that people are concerned. But the Zone diet takes it a step further by then trying to sort of objectify this data and say, hey, we have actual like clinical markers that we can test for that will show you if your metabolism is quote unquote broken. And what these tests are is a blood panel, basically. So it's your triglyceride to HDL cholesterol ratio. So it's your triglyceride to, quote, good cholesterol is how we think of HDL. They are looking at your arachidonic acid to EPA ratio. So this is basically your omega-6 to omega-3 ratio. And then they are looking at your hemoglobin A1C. And this is a sort of long-term view of your blood sugar control over about a 3-month span. And these are legitimate tests that you can have done, but of course, this diet makes you think something's wrong with you, and then they sell conveniently for $75 this test to be done. And look, I'm not saying that they're doing anything sketchy. What I am saying is, do we know who these tests are going through? You know? Mm-hmm. Do we know that these are being done in a validated way to make sure that your results are coming back in a way that it doesn't encourage you to continue on the diet. I'm just saying.
Yeah, we've seen this before.
Yeah.
Right. And it gets people to buy in. You pay the money, you get the marker. The $75 test kit is specifically just for that omega-6, omega-3 ratio. And I looked into this a little bit. The average American's AA to EPA is 11. They recommend having 1.5 to 3. So that you can almost ensure that any person who buys this test kit and sends in their sample is going to have something higher than that. So then you're like, well, I have to do the zone diet.
Yeah. And one thing that I find interesting is I don't really agree with what it says the test indicates. Right. Yeah. I just have a hard time believing that like any of this is going to any legitimate, like what's the Qualtrics? What's the sort of the company that has like the sort of the monopoly over all the lab tests?
Yeah. I don't remember.
Yeah. I have a hard time believing that it's going to like an actual legitimate place because they have every incentive in the world to have their own lab value reading facility that, oh, lo and behold, wouldn't you know, like mm-hmm. all your lab values came back that you should be on this diet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. So I feel like it's been a while since we looked at a diet with a quiz, but this one had a quiz. Did you take it, Marie?
I didn't because I saw that you took it and I saw the score it gave you. So I just figured we'd ride with that. Yeah.
Yes. So the quiz is on your current level of insulin resistance. And I'm not going to go through all the questions, but basically I took it and my insulin resistance score is 6. So I am likely to have moderate insulin resistance. But the question, I mean, I'll pull out a couple questions. It's basically just preying on people who they want to get to do their diet. If you miss a meal, do you feel irritable or tired? I mean, who doesn't? Do you tend to retain water after eating salty foods? Yeah, that's what salt does in the body. Are you usually tired or fatigued in the afternoons or early evenings? Like, okay, great. So yeah, I apparently have moderate insulin resistance, but they take it one step further and they also have a calculator that asks about your height, weight, age, activity, and your waist and hip measurements in inches. So I put mine in, and what they spit out is they claim that just from that information, they can tell your fat percentage, your muscle mass, just from that information. And we can very confidently say that there is no equation that can give you that and be accurate. You have to go in, you have to get a DEXA scan done, you have to do underwater weighing, you have to do a bod pod. All those ways are validated ways to measure fat versus muscle. This quiz is not. I'll tell you, I'm very transparent. It doesn't bother me to share numbers. It said I was 15% fat, which I can tell you, I'm almost double that. Like 15% fat is for me and for just a woman my age, that's low. That's like crazy low.
But yet it's still telling you that you have moderate insulin resistance, yeah, even though by their own scale, which is probably, it's not accurate, but like by their own scale, you're wildly underweight, right?
Yes. And I'm not. I'm a healthy weight.
Right, but then they're saying again by an unvalidated tool that you have moderate insulin resistance, even though you literally just actually got your A1C taken and you were within the normal limits, and so no insulin resistance. But yet now they're putting you, they're still giving you scores that are telling you that you need to be on this plan, even though a clinician or a dietitian would, if you were truly 15% body fat, be like, hey, let's not go on a diet, you know?
Exactly. It's crazy. So they're really just reeling people in. They also use this calculator to share And this is where we're getting into like what the zone diet actually is. But they use the term blocks to talk about how much protein, carb, and fat you need in a day. So they gave me, based on that information, how many blocks of each they think that I need. And so I did some math, and based on the number of blocks of each they recommend, my numbers turn out to be 77 grams of protein, 99 grams of carb, and 17 grams of fat. Unless I eat vegetarian, then I'm allowed to have 33 grams of fat. This adds up to 857 calories per day, which I don't think it wins for the lowest number of calories for any diet that we've talked about, but it's low.
And this thing thinks that you're 15% body fat.
Yeah.
Not that it matters, but like, you know, that's where it becomes really dangerous. Because if somebody truly was that lean,
they should not be
I guess
eating.
The leanness really doesn't matter. Like 857 calories for anybody.
Unless you're a toddler, then that's a perfectly healthy amount.
Yeah.
Like, it's insane. Yeah. So not loving the zone diet so far.
Yeah. Yeah. I saw your calorie recommendations and that they were telling you that you were insulin resistant. I was like, you know, I don't feel the need to take the quiz.
No. Save yourself the 5 minutes.
Yeah. So like Emily just said, basically they have two ways for you to determine how much and what you are allowed to eat. So they have a plate method, which is very different than our plate method. And they have the block or the like counting, if you will. So the plate method is basically that at every meal, you are going to have a third of your plate be a protein and two thirds of your plate. Well, okay. Be carbs, but with stipulations.
Yeah, it's not really what we would call carbs.
Yeah. So two-thirds of your plate can be, they say, a lot of colorful veggies and a little fruit. Fruits and vegetables to avoid are those high in sugar, which is all fruits.
Carbs, right?
Or starchy vegetables. So you're allowed to essentially to have two-thirds of your plate be non-starchy vegetables and a third of your plate be protein. So we're really not getting a whole lot of starches or fruits on the plate. Maybe a little bit. And then you are allowed to have one fat, one monounsaturated fat. And they give the examples of olive oil, avocado, or almonds. They don't really, in the plate method, they don't give a amount or a percentage of the plate, but it just says a little bit. So I think there's an assumption of it's the cooking oil you use or you drizzle it over a salad, whatever.
Sounds super not filling.
Right. I love at the beginning how they're like, this is a weight loss method that won't leave you hungry. And I'm like, okay, I'm eating two-thirds of my plate lettuce and one-third of my plate chicken. I'm going to be hungry pretty soon. Mm-hmm. So I think they try to make it sound good by calling the two-thirds side carbohydrates. But then they tell you what carbohydrates you're not allowed to have, which is the carbohydrate-rich food. And then they only allow you to eat the really high fiber, really low carb carbs. Right?
Yeah. And I mean, I know we usually save pros and cons to the end, but like at least they're encouraging fruit, like some fruits and vegetables. But this isn't enough to sustain a person. It's just... Yeah. Not only is it, I mean, you can't eat a whole lot of different types of foods, but it's super low fat as well. So like it's a low carb and a fairly low fat diet. When it comes to being full, it's going to be a struggle.
And then the other way that they have that you can counter, you know, decide your food for the day, this kind of reminds me of Weight Watchers with the food blocks. It's basically you get a point system, if you will, your allotted amount of blocks that you're allowed to eat each day. Your goal is to eat your blocks of a 1:1:1 protein to carb to fat ratio. And one block is 7 grams of protein, 9 grams of carbs, and 1.5 grams of fat. But if the fat is coming from a vegetarian source, you're allowed 3 grams of fat. I mean, I find the block method to, like, not be super user-friendly, if I'm being honest. Like, that just seems like a lot of math to me.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And it's weird to me that they even, why do they even have two different ways to approach it? Just pick one. I don't know. I mean, I do like the idea of let's eat foods that are anti-inflammatory. I don't like the idea of let's only eat anti-inflammatory foods and not eat enough of everything else. Yeah, when it comes to actual research, there is research on the zone diet. And it was kind of cracking me up because one of their claims for the zone diet is that it will improve performance, like athletic performance.
It will send you to the Olympics, Emily.
Exactly. It's good enough for the Stanford swimmers. So they did an actual study on athletes who followed the zone diet. And it said, although they lost weight, not surprising, they also lost endurance and were exhausted faster than those who were not on the zone diet. Like, we know this in sports nutrition. This is very well known that high carb is very important to perform well. So yeah, when you cut out all of the grains and all the starchy vegetables, it's not surprising that they lose weight, but they also lose endurance, which is like a cornerstone of being a good athlete.
Right.
That is one study. You know how Zone always talks about less inflammation means you're going to have a better metabolism and you're going to be healthy. So yeah, so they started doing research on people in the Zone diet and see if it actually did improve the blood values that they claim it does. And it's not conclusive that, you know, eating this way does lower inflammation.
Yeah, I feel like it's no different than other diets that we've looked at, but it's like, yeah, I mean, if your diet is shit and then you switch to this very plant-based diet, you're likely to maybe see some improvements in labs, but you're, you know, at the consequence of A, clearly not eating enough, and B, like, this shit is not sustainable.
Yes.
You know, like, you're right. There's no way that you're going to be living off of 2/3 of your plate spinach and 1/3 of your plate white fish for the rest of your life.
Yes, exactly. I totally agree. And that's the main issue there.
Yeah.
Not very sustainable. So, do we give the Zone diet the BS stamp?
I mean, yeah, their whole initial claim is that it's going to improve athletic performance by reducing inflammation. And we have literal research that proves the opposite.
Right.
And then it's like inconclusive on the inflammation. It's like, oh, well, you know, like you're eating more plants, so maybe. But yeah, like, I mean, it's total bullshit. It's so low calorie. You know, it's fear mongering people into thinking they have problems that they don't. It's giving them unvalidated tests that will, I would almost completely assure everybody that takes it is going to, you can be the healthiest person in the world. I feel like anybody's going to take that and they're going to flag you for something to get you to buy something, mm-hmm. You know, like.
Yeah. And they do a good job of it.
I can almost guarantee that. And it just makes, it gives, they're talking about your broken metabolism, blah, blah, blah. Things that you can't dispute because that doesn't mean anything.
Right. Totally. So I completely agree. BS stamp. But for an alternative, should you do 75 hard? We have Ellen here to tell us that. So hi, Ellen. Welcome to the podcast.
Thanks. So yeah, the 75 hard challenge was created in 2019 by Andy Frisella, who is a podcaster, entrepreneur, and CEO of the supplement company First Form.
So very qualified to create a diet.
Yes. He knows exactly what he's doing.
Right. And he actually calls this a, quote, transformative mental toughness program. So the diet is part of it, but it's also vague, and there's a lot of other stuff going on. He says that the reason he kept falling off track of different programs was that he lacked that mental discipline. So it's basically something to help you become more disciplined and have all sorts of success in your life. There are very strict rules. The first is that you pick a diet to follow with no alcohol or cheat meals. The second is drinking a gallon. Yes, you heard that right. A gallon of water daily. Third, to complete 2 45-minute daily workouts, one of which has to be outside. Fourth is to read 10 pages per day of a nonfiction book. And then the last one is to take a progress photo every day. The real kicker, though, is that there are no rests or cheat days. There's no substitutions. If you make a mistake, you have to restart the whole 75-day program all over again. So a lot of obvious red flags here.
I have so much to say. So first off, I didn't realize that's what 75 meant, was that you have to do this for 75 days. Secondly, I'm curious, Marie or Ellen, do either of you know someone who has done 75 hard, has tried it or completed it?
Yes.
Tell me you haven't, Marie.
Oh, God, no. God,
okay, no. I was going to say, like, oh, no, like, crazy.
No.
Okay, but you know people
I know of two people off the top of my head that, like, did the whole thing.
Wow.
I know a countless amount of people telling me that they were starting it and did not follow up to see if they finished it. I doubt they did, because this is ridiculous and sets you up to fail.
Yeah.
I want to talk about, I've never heard him describe, but you have in your notes, Ellen, that you saw that he's described it as the Iron Man for your brain. And I want to talk about that. Because you are supposed to jump into this day one and just do all this shit correctly. Does he understand that people show up for an Ironman having trained for years for that Ironman? Nobody just shows up at an Ironman like, oh, I think I'm going to do an Ironman today. I really want to, you know, kickstart my life and get my fitness back on track. I'll do an Ironman today.
Yeah. My cousin is, she's turning pro. She's going to be an Ironman pro in 2024. And I just watched her run a marathon last weekend, and she completed it in 3 hours and 6 minutes. And that does not happen without training. Like, she is insane and would take a lot of offense to the fact that this guy, you know, calls this an Iron Man for your brain. Like, you could just jump right in. I totally agree with that. And something else that just cracks me up about this is he goes, pick a diet to follow.
Right.
What is that? Right. What? Like, and if you're trying to complete 2 45-minute daily workouts and you pick the wrong diet, you are screwed right off the bat. If you pick the zone diet, you're in trouble.
Yeah. Because
you're not eating enough calories to sustain that.
Yeah. If you live anywhere rainy, you're also screwed.
Yeah, exactly. Anywhere with seasons. That's going to be an issue.
Yes, totally. I think the pick a diet thing is very crazy. This could be anything from healthy and sustainable to very trendy and very risky. Mm-hmm. And yeah, like you said, not being able to be properly filled for those workouts, which again, going back to starting an Ironman after never doing any of this, if you're doing 2 45-minute daily workouts from, let alone not doing anything, but even doing that every day, you're probably going to be overusing, you're going to get injured, and then there's no recovery. If you miss a day, if you miss half a day and you don't work out, then you have to start all over again. So
yes,
yeah, that really does not make sense to me.
That's a good thing to bring up too, the fact that he says no rest, no cheat days or substitutions. I mean, I don't know. We're not strength coaches. We're not, you know, in that world, but I'm pretty sure rest is something that's pretty integral.
I feel like it's not outside of our realm to be like, vegetables are important. That's no different than a non-dietitian being like, I think vegetables are important.
Right. This is well known. We all know this.
Yes. And then just to dive into the drinking a gallon of water per day, there was a question from Instagram to the podcast Instagram Someone asked, can you overhydrate? And the answer to that is yes. Overhydration can lead to water toxicity, also known as water poisoning. This happens when the body water volume becomes too large for the kidneys to excrete. Then the electrolytes in your body can become diluted. You can experience nausea, vomiting, headaches, confusion, disorientation, drowsiness, muscle cramps. And in extreme cases, this has led to death. So I found a really interesting article in July of 2023, a woman named Michelle Fairborn TikToked her experience after she was hospitalized for water poisoning on the 75 Hard Challenge.
Oh no.
Yeah, so she described all of those symptoms that she did have and how she had to completely stop. If you are doing something like this challenge and you're getting to the point where you're doing things that really don't feel right, you should stop that diet, you know, you should stop that challenge, whatever it is.
Yeah. And I think that's where the danger, you know, obviously like hyponatremia is dangerous, right? Like overhydration is dangerous, but it's also dangerous having this all or nothing mentality of like, you have to keep going. You can't quit. You can't whatever, because if somebody's super obsessed with this and they've convinced themselves that like they're a loser in life if they can't finish 75 hard, whether it's overhydration or they injure themselves in a workout or they chose a diet that's way too restrictive and kind of didn't realize it until a couple weeks in or whatever, like that's where you can really get into trouble with something like this. Because this dude isn't like, you know, 75 hard, but make sure that you have all these ducks in a row and are looking out for these warning signs. No, like these bros, you know the person, right? Like the David Goggins type where they're like, stick to it, mindset, mm-hmm. You know, keep your head down, don't be a loser. Like, and then people literally drive themselves to the brink of death trying to accomplish these things because they think that they're a loser and like they're not successful in life because they can't overhydrate and like work themselves out to death and eat 800 calories a day for 75 days straight.
Right. And that the pain and the discomfort is supposed to be a part of it, which I think is true. I think there is something to say about discipline, but to this extreme, I think, yeah, like you said, can be really dangerous. So the recommendation for hydration is in fluid ounces, you should be drinking about half of your body weight in pounds. And then also for every hour of exercise or additional sweating, you should add about 16 ounces to that. And when we say fluid, that includes all fluid that you're consuming. So foods that you eat that have fluid in them or other drinks are included in that. Alcohol is not included. And then also, as they've discussed previously on the podcast, caffeine is not dehydrating if you're drinking it or taking it regularly. So we want to not be too afraid of overhydration, but also definitely bat an eye and consider thinking about a challenge that tells you to drink a gallon of water every day.
Right. Because, oh God, you might know this better than us because you're much closer to taking the RD exam than we are far away from it. How many fluid ounces are in a gallon?
I think 160.
120, 128.
So okay. Mm-hmm. How many dietitians does it take?
Okay. But, you know, there's a difference because, you know, we just said, okay, a basic recommendation is half of your body weight in ounces, fluid ounces. So if you are a 200-pound person, that means you should be drinking 100 fluid ounces of water. A gallon is 128 fluid ounces. So a lot of people don't need to be drinking anywhere close to a gallon to meet their needs. And if you're a tiny little person and you're doing all these workouts and let's say you're doing these workouts, you're sweating a lot, you're losing sodium, you're losing salt, and you're on a restrictive diet that's probably restricting salt, and you're drinking a gallon of water, now we're ending up in the hospital.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, all of those factors kind of come together and hospitalize people in some cases.
So overall, I think does this or does it not get the BS stamp? I think definitely yes. It's just a classic all or nothing approach. It's extremely rigid. I think it definitely could cause psychological damage. And I think it's important that in order to be sustainable, you have to allow for some flexibility and learn how to adapt after failing instead of just restarting every time.
I love that you bring that up because so many people, when they try and make dietary changes, even if they do it in a healthful approach, are going to, quote, fail. And I think it's important to learn that it's not a failure, but kind of just recognizing like, okay, you know, like yesterday was my birthday and it was not the most healthy day of eating, but we're going to move on with our lives versus a punishment approach to it is so important. And so many people fall into these yo-yo dieting mentalities because they convince themselves that they have to start over, start from day one, start from scratch, hold themselves to this rigid structure. Oh, they failed, you know, because they, God forbid that you eat a cookie from your coworker or whatever. I love that you bring that up because that's so important because people that have successful, healthy dietary habits, it's because they've learned to eat in a way that it's just how they eat and they have days where they, you know, eat fun foods and eat whatever. And then for the most part are eating healthy. And it's not like a, oh, I ate cake. I'm bad today. You know, I messed up. And it's just like, you know, like it is what it is. And it's so far removed from the mentality of like all or nothing strictness.
Yes. Or if I eat this way 50 days in a row, then I'll feel good. It's really about just like implementing all of the failures and successes and moving on with your life, you know?
Right.
So an alternative to the 75 hard challenge would be the 75 soft challenge. I think this is really funny. A few years later in 2021, same guy, Andy Frisella, created the 75 soft program as an alternative. And the rules are very different. They are to eat well in general, exercise for 45 minutes each day, including one day of active recovery, drink 3 liters of water daily instead of a gallon, and to read 10 pages of any book each day. And there is no start over rule if you miss a day, which is great. So without so much fear of failing, you can then have a much healthier relationship with fitness and food and wellness and reading a book you like. And it just allows for so much more freedom and flexibility while also, yeah, maintaining those healthy habits. So if you do want a bit of a challenge, this is a much better option.
And minus the 10 days of reading or 10 pages of reading a day, I would just say that, is this not just a healthy lifestyle?
Right.
Eat well in general, exercise for about 45 minutes with some days of active recovery, and drink about 3 liters of water a day. Like,
we've been saying that on this podcast for the past 102 episodes. You know what's so funny is I wasn't really paying attention, and I was looking through these notes, and I see all these, you know, eat well in general, drink 3 liters. And I started going into the notes and being like, eating well in general, lean protein, whole grains, blah, blah, blah. Instead of drinking 3 liters of water, drink half your body weight in ounces. It's like, I was just going in and like make dietitianizing it because this is very, you know, it is very general, but I think, you know, if for some people this is a way to get them feeling motivated and trying something new, then I like it. I think it's good to not have as many rules as the 75 hard, or even what I might make changes to the 75 soft, but no, this is what it is.
We can make the, what's softer than soft? We'll make the 75, we'll make 75 memory foam.
Memory foam, there you go. The softest there is. Too funny. It's funny the same guy created this. Mm-hmm. I didn't realize that.
I'm sure he's just getting backlash.
Yeah, someone died, and then he's like, oh, I need to, I need to soften this up a bit. Yikes. Well, yeah, thank you so much, Ellen. It was fun hearing from you. I know our listeners always like when we bring some guests on, a different perspective, a different voice. But thanks.
Yeah, thanks for letting me do it.
For sure. I'm glad we finally did one on 75 Hard. I know that's been one people have asked about. Amazing. Well, that is a wrap on another episode of RDs versus BS. We always love hearing from our listeners. So if you have questions, comments, suggestions on topics, you know how to reach out to us. And if you want recipe ideas, you want to learn how to implement healthy eating into your life, check out our Patreon. It's called RDs versus BS Podcast. It's a great way to support the podcast, but also get useful day-to-day tips on nutrition to put what you learn in our podcast into actual everyday life. So until next time, I'm Emily.
And I'm Marie.
And don't let the BS get the best of you.